Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics, in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. This is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200 percenters. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more. Then, every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community. Listen to Life as a Gringo on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same seven questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same seven questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on season three of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Seven questions, limitless answers.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 164, episode 2 of The Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness. It's Tuesday, December 15th, 2020, 36 days until January 20th. My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Is this the Zeitgeist? No, it's just Jack O'B. Lost in a landslide. No escape from Joe Biden's lead. Tweet a shitstorm. Realize you lost. Concede. That is courtesy of TDZ, a.k.a. Think Tank. It ends with, come on, guys, which I appreciate. Little hype man action at the end.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray.
Away in a granger, no cush for his bong. The little Lord Miles just made up this song.
AKA hey. For me right now, away in a granger. Please send Kush for my bomb to the Miles Gray, care of the Valley, and I will receive it.
Yeah, they'll find a way to get it to you. You are the Valley's most favored son.
I mean, there's a lot, you know. Brody Stevens held down the Valley for legendarily. You know, there's a lot of people hold this torch, you know, epically. So you know, I can only hope to find my place in the pantheon of great San Fernandoans.
Are you having trouble? Is your bong actually empty, or what's going? Was that just for the rhyme?
Yeah, it is. It is. You know, I'm in between Nug Club drops, so I just smoked up all the weed that came from that one, and my normal store was closed, and you know, I'm getting through it. You know, I'm getting through it. I'm
closed for COVID, or just closed because you tried to go at 2 a.m?
The latter. I just feel they should be open at that time. I just feel like if people want to smoke at all hours of the day. Why are we discriminating against the night owls?
What are we even doing here then? Well, we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by the hilarious and talented Jeremiah Watkins.
Yo, what up?
There he is.
What's up, man?
How's it going, players?
Oh, you know.
just playing. As we do.
Playing the game.
Where are you coming from, live and direct, Jeremiah?
I'm live and direct from Los Angeles, California.
Okay.
Oh, cool. Big fan of that place. You've got a green screen behind you, so you could really be coming to us from anywhere, outer
just
space.
Well, some hijinks might be ensuing with this green screen later in. We don't know, guys.
Don't tease me like that, man.
It's funny that you have the green screen, but the thing you put up as the plate is just a green screen.
Yeah,
that's
but
right.
Like, just letting people. Oh, he just turned into a candlelight Burt Reynolds something.
Oh, there might just be a saxophone between my legs.
Wow.
You play saxophone?
I do play saxophone.
Nice. Hell but for yeah. people, for those of us who are not on this show right now on this Zoom call, Jeremiah has been changing the background of his little window cell, and it looks like, is it roses and candles and a saxophone?
Rose petals, candles, and then I'm naked behind just, you know, a sax just in front of my junk just to paint that
what
picture
is that,
for y'all.
Is that a
an alto sax? Yeah.
Oh, okay.
What is the name of that romance album that we're looking at? I feel like that's a great album cover that we're witnessing.
I mean, there's probably some kind of sax wordplay, like, you know, like sexual
sax
healing or like
sexual.
Big sax energy
tantric sax.
Yeah.
Tantric sax. That's good. That's real
circular
good.
Circular breathing. There you go.
Yeah.
Oh, man. So you're a lifelong sax player.
I am since like third, fourth grade.
Hell yeah.
Started playing then. Yeah.
When people start band, that's around the time a school is like, do you want to be in the band? Pick one of these.
Yeah. You got to pick.
Cause I started playing trumpet around third grade.
Do you still play?
I mean, occasionally I play bass now more. I switched to bass about 8 years ago, but I can still play and I can read music and all that. But I think my embouchure is a little bit weak. Sure, it could be a bit better, but hey, you know, that's a whole other podcast.
All right, Jeremiah, we're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, we are going to tell our listeners a few of the things we're talking about. We're going to talk about the continued Trump campaign attempt to, I don't know, I don't know what the end game is, the cuckoo kachoo. We'll talk
Cuckoo-roo.
About how Stephen Miller,
what happened to Cuckoo-roo?
I know. It really had a fallen off. I remember when I first
California?
Came out to LA and I was like, this place is amazing. And
this place is under-seasoned, but the interior aesthetic is a whole vibe. So I won't worry about the food quality.
That's right. We'll talk about how what Stephen Miller's doing, what Mo Brooks is doing to try and make whatever their fantasy election reality happen. We are going to talk about just the heightened rhetoric coming from the right wing. We'll talk about the Epoch Times. We'll talk about Brexit and what it's doing to the famed British cuisine. Mm-hmm. And we'll talk about the vaccine and how we sell it to people. All of that, plenty more. But first, Jeremiah, we like to ask our guests, what is something from your search history that's revealing about who you are?
I searched recently for pregnant woman hormones, which that is that's something that my wife is going through right now.
Okay,
So we're due in April, so I just wanted to search that and see what kind of things go on with that. If it's a normal thing, how to deal with it. But the stuff that's in Google is not very helpful. It's just like, be funny, be caring. It's just like, all right, well. You know, I try to do that, like,
right
before
any other,
I started
doing some hacks I can do.
Yeah, like, do you have any direct line connections to improve the mood?
Yeah,
right. So you did the crude dude Google search version of what to expect when you're expecting, when you're like,
yeah,
pregnant woman hormones. What do you got, Google?
How
What's,
do
what am I
deal
in for here?
With my wife's hormones? I don't get it. I'm just a simple man. I don't know what
All
to
right,
do
yeah.
here.
We're 5 months out. I guess I'll acknowledge what's going on here.
Yeah.
Here we go.
I guess I should have ordered like a book or something, but I don't know.
Yeah. And also congrats, man, on your,
yeah,
your
congratulations.
First
congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah. Yeah. First kit.
Wow.
Was that a thing, a planned pregnancy within quarantine? I knew people who were like looking at it like, well, this is a sustained period where I might be able to be around for a long time. So should we have a child? Did that enter the thing, or was this something that you were just always happening, or did the pandemic have anything to do with
it? Well, definitely the pandemic had a factor in the timing of it for sure, because we did plan, because we were like, I'm usually out touring and on the road like a lot of weekends of the month. And right now I've been home more than I ever have. And I probably will be going into, you know, the new year and stuff like that more than usual. And we were like, okay, I'll be here more. Like, this is one of those things where if I was on the road all the time, like that's kind of hard for her while she's pregnant and experiencing that. You know what I mean? So we kind of figured if we did it when we did it and, that it would be beneficial for us both and be the most helpful for her like along the way. So that way I'm not just like gone and then she's just like dealing with like everything while being pregnant. So yeah.
Right.
But she's been great through the process. Even though I'm Googling hormones and stuff, it's more just like it's a foreign thing to me because like we're both pretty even keel people. So it's just like an adjustment, like, oh, okay, this is like part of it. This is like a thing.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. And it's good to just know what to expect throughout the...
I should have got that book. I should have got what to expect when you're expecting.
Gets real uncomfortable for women towards the end of the...
That's what I've been reading and hearing about.
Sleeping gets difficult.
Get that body pillow. Mm. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do highly recommend the body pillow for sure.
I'll look into it.
Yeah, me too. I'm a side sleeper, and I learned that tip from my homegirl that was pregnant.
Yeah, yeah.
She was like, "You might want to try a body pillow," because I remember it was like, "Hey, what's that thing?" She's like, "It's because I'm pregnant, and it helps me sleep more comfortably because my body is all growing in different directions." I was like, "Huh?" I was like, "You think that'll work for me?"
Yeah, you're like, are you done with that thing, or can I buy that?
Exactly. The second the child was born, I'm like, hey man, I'm coming to get that body pillow really quick.
Yeah,
she's like, you don't want to say hi to the child? No. I'm here for the body.
Cute kid, give me the pillow.
During this pregnancy, are your families based in LA, or do you have are your families like on completely other parts of the country? Because I know that's another thing a lot of people have been sorting through.
Yeah, so her family's in Northern California, it's about 5-6 hour drive away, so if they need to come into town, it's not crazy, but it's still you know, a bit. But my family's back in Kansas, so that's either a very, very long drive, it's like a 25-hour drive, or it's, you know, a flight home. So we're gonna try, once the baby's born, to stagger their visits and stuff. Hopefully this stuff with COVID has chilled out a little bit and everybody's a little bit more healthy. And, you know, we got 4 or 5 months away. So we'll see. I'm hopeful. Yeah. We'll see.
And I like that. We just need to tell COVID to chill out.
It's like, take a chill pill, COVID. Come on, bro.
Yeah.
The fuck? We get it, okay? We get it. Our country's trash. Point made.
Now you're just rubbing it in at this point. You're a sore loser at this point.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Jeremiah, what is something you think is underrated?
I think this is underrated because people trash it for it not being, I think, as quality as I think it is, and that's Taco Bell. I freaking love Taco Bell, and I will put it pound for pound up against any other fast food place. And a lot of people knock it, saying it's not that good or whatever, but I love it. I love my T-Bell.
You're preaching to the choir here, man. Yeah.
Yeah. They don't know the love of Christ.
The amount of times
they think it's not good,
that they've reinvented the menu with the same products, and I fell for it so many times. That's good marketing right there. If they can repackage the same food over and over and be like, new at Taco Bell, I'm like, okay, I'm sold.
Right. It's like having like a 4-crayon set, but they keep managing to crank out like the wildest designs. But they only have 4 crayons.
Yeah.
And you can't blend that shit really like nicely. You can't finesse that. Yeah, there's something about it. I don't know. I mean, I was just reading about a pop-up in Austin that was reviving all of the like destroyed menu items. And it became so popular because people were like, yeah, I need a Mexican pizza. And this place is just making them like, as you know, as true to the original as possible. And they were like, I don't know, business has been booming and we're like sold out in advance whenever we put the menu out. So I'm like, you know what? That shows you the power of the dead Bell menu.
Wow. Yeah. They discontinued my double decker taco. That's like one of my favorite things that was on the menu. And they keep killing it. They keep axing it.
That was the refried beans around the crunchy regular taco.
Yeah.
Shaq versus Hakeem. Yeah.
Right, exactly. Shaq versus Hakeem.
That's exactly what it was.
Yeah.
For you growing up in Kansas, was Taco Bell your first foray into Mexican food? Like, how long before you had Taco Bell versus having Mexican food and then begin differentiating between the two as Taco Bell as its own genre of food and Mexican food as an actual cuisine?
I don't think that I realized truly the difference between Tex-Mex and more authentic Mexican food until I moved to Los Angeles, because there's some restaurants in Kansas that are more traditional Mexican style. There's like a great one called Manny's that's like down on like near Mission Boulevard, like I think on the Kansas City, Missouri side. And there's some good restaurants around there that are more authentic, but they're still, even the most authentic Mexican restaurants in Kansas don't come close to the ones that are like the little taco stands and stuff in Los Angeles. They're just,
it's night and day. God.
It's like,
all right, yeah. I was worried Kansas was coming for the
crown.
Coming
for the crown. But yeah.
No, yeah. I don't think so. I don't think we have anything to worry about.
Okay. All right. I just want to make sure that's that's all there.
Yeah.
What is something you think is overrated?
I think that Disneyland is very overrated. And probably a lot of people will be upset to hear that's my choice as something overrated. But I didn't grow up with Disneyland as a kid in Kansas. I never went. And I went a few years ago as an adult. And I was like, oh, this is like stuff that if you don't get in while you're a little kid, like it doesn't work on you. Like it, like you're not fazed by it because you don't have memories and nostalgia attached to it. So I was like, this is just another theme park that actually costs way more than the theme parks that I'm used to going to that have faster rides and just like not identifiable characters and stuff. Like it's all like a money-making machine is what I looked at it
as. So you became a very discerning child when you're like, well, let's look at it on paper.
Yeah. I mean, it's exactly.
I was jaded as a 6-year-old. I was like, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know, mom and dad.
What's
I
your
mean,
margin the on that, mascot. Walt?
Yeah.
Yeah.
These are razor thin margins, dad. I got to tell you, we're going to be upside down on this trip by the time I get one churro before we get off Main Street.
Yeah. I think we're going to be out of here at 10:15 a.m.
It's just a regular amusement park with branding. Like I grew up in the Midwest going to Kings Island in Southern Ohio. Mm. That is a fine amusement park. That just,
was that Disneyland to you?
Yeah, man. That was
like, it's all relative to what's by you, you know?
Yeah. I went to a place called Worlds of Fun and it was amazing.
Oh, love that name.
Dude, it was great. And they had on the water park side was called Oceans of Fun.
I love it.
Nice.
Come on, dude. Are you kidding me? If you want to get wet, you have to go just through a barrier, just a gate. You're like, oh, this is Oceans of Fun. And this costs a little bit different.
Now, Disney, right. Were you a Disney World kid? Did you ever get to go to Disney World?
I never went to Disney World, so I never won enough sports stuff where I got to go to Disneyland or Disney World, so.
Got it.
Didn't happen.
Yeah, there's something, I wonder if it's like, so growing up in LA, like I went to Disneyland. I'm like, oh, cool. But I'm not like a Disney person. Right. But I'm also one of those people where like if I'm really far away from a thing that people love in a certain part of the country, I start like making it exotic.
And right.
I'm like, oh, shit. I want to do that shit. Like that's how I feel about like local fast food. Like when I'm like, what do they eat over there? What's popping in Nebraska? Like I want that shit. Like so. I get that, but it's I like that you somehow went, well, that could have happened, but the cost is just
it just doesn't make sense on paper. I'm like that with fast food though, like Whataburger and stuff like that, since we don't have like that in California. Like, dude, when I go to Texas, I always hit up a Whataburger and I get at least a lunch or a breakfast there because I don't have it.
As someone who's a transport here, did you notice that the fast food here is like higher quality? Do you feel like I feel like McDonald's is better in California, and I think it might just be that the meat is like closer to the source or something, but I've always felt that way, and I like to ask people who are also transports.
That's hard to say because I don't know, because the McDonald's honestly that I've had, McDonald's is one of those places where it tastes to me almost the exact same. Almost every single state I've been through, and I've been on the road to and I've had a lot of different.
You would
McDonald's.
Be an expert on that,
but I don't know about the fast food thing. That's an interesting thing. Like as far as if it's higher quality or not, it's almost like I might even think the reverse, actually. Like, in the Midwest, that's more where there's, like, I don't know, there's a lot of beef and stuff.
Right.
Like dairy farms and different stuff like that, that I wonder if when I go back home now that I've had LA fast food for a while, if I'll be like, this is amazing. Like, this is so much better. So,
right. Yeah, it could be that I was coming from the East Coast, which is, you know, not less fresh ingredients pouring in into Boston and that area. So
I also think that maybe you being from the East Coast, the turnaround, I think, is probably faster. So they might put a little bit less effort into making sure that the quality's up. Because in the Midwest and stuff like that, they have time to make you a quality fast food meal without like rushing you out the door, where and the East Coast, everybody's like, come on, let's get this done. I got stuff to do.
Yeah. You know what I just learned? That Disney World has OR in it for Orlando, or ORL, and Disneyland has LA in it, and that's how to tell the difference.
Wait, that was done intentionally?
I think it might have been. I mean, it's too perfect not to be, right? Follow the money.
Or it's like one of those things,
that's all I'm saying. Follow the money.
Yeah, but it's like one of those things where the journalist is smarter than like their interview subject. And like, and I noticed for Disney World, it's ORL and Disneyland is LA for Los Angeles. How did you come up with that? And like, you just be like, oh, yeah.
Yeah. That was that was super deliberate. Yeah.
Exactly.
We had a think tank going. And
did a lot of A-B testing with that. And that's what we landed on. That's why and then we kept that naming convention through to Tokyo Disneyland and Euro Disney. Then we just kind of started putting the name blatantly in it, but we wanted to keep we wanted to keep it clear for everybody.
That's right. All right, let's take a quick break and we'll come back and talk about some stories.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. Now, this is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200 percenters. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. If you ever felt like you were always too much this while also never being enough that, this is the podcast for you. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more via my own personal stories, along with interviews with inspiring thought leaders from our community. Then, every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community that you need to know. So much of what makes our community so beautiful is our diversity, yet too often, those of us who don't fit into this dumb, stereotypical box of whatever it means to be Latino are left without a voice or just forgotten about. On this show, I celebrate the uniqueness of our culture and invite you to walk in your authenticity. Listen to Life as a Gringo as a part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. Lost my voice there a little bit.
Hey guys, we're back on the show.
Great to have you back. Oh boy,
he's gonna fire me.
So yeah, the Trump train is not stopping in terms of his push to try and subvert the democratic process in the United States. It's no amount of truth or facts or failure can dissuade them. They're going to keep going.
Yeah. I mean, it's all, you know, as much, yes, these are attempts at a coup, but we know, like, functionally, there's really very little that can actually be done to change the results of the election. So I think at this point, you're looking at, there's a few different things they're trying to do. A, just bilk the Trump supporters for as much money as possible, because they've already raised like $200 million since the election for the Stop the Steal stuff, with like a caveat that like 3/4 of it can go to whatever the fuck they want to do with it, not necessarily explicitly stopping the fucking quote unquote steal, and also just completely delegitimizing Biden's presidency in the eyes of in the half the country, just to be like, let's just set that table so that's what they have to navigate, so it's just an absolute mess, so then maybe we can kind of come in a couple of years and see if anyone forgot that we were enabling all this.
I always wonder if like that's the point, is like not that people will have forgotten in a couple of years, but that people will be like extra angry because they think that the election was stolen from them in a couple years. And so it's like more voting, more anger.
I think it could work in any direction. I mean, regardless, it's definitely playing with people's emotions around it and trying to, you know, deploy them at the best time possible. But in regards to like what's happening in Trump world with this legal fight, I mean, you know, most of the lawsuits have been pretty much concluded or just outright rejected. But the biggest indicator that things are kind of obviously the energy might be going is that the Trump campaign headquarters in Virginia, which was like supposed to be like the war room epicenter of this legal fight, is basically is a ghost town. The Daily Beast was sort of sniffing around there and asking people about what's going on. And they say, quote, according to that source about how it's basically it's lights out in this campaign headquarters building. According to that source and another person familiar with the situation, a large amount of the Trump Pence signs have been stripped from the walls of the headquarters in Arlington. The desks and memorabilia have been largely packed, thrown out or removed. Television sets mounted to the walls and around the rented 14th floor of the building are being sold for extra cash. Staffers' belongings are even more thoroughly cleared out now than they were when the campaign was in the immediate aftermath of the downsizing. The voter fraud hotline room in Arlington that just created a bunch of troll opportunities has just been completely shut down, and they barely see people going in and out of the building anymore. So
I like how this article, I like how the article specifically says that it was a torturous chamber for mid-level staff and a pointless magnet for crank callers, violent threats, and farting noises into the telephones.
I tried to keep it classy without that, but yes. Oh, you got it. I'm sorry. Yes, I have a very, some evidence of fraud. Hold on. Let me pull it up 1 second. Okay.
So stupid.
You can write that one down. But yeah. Where they're at.
The best detail in that is the television sets being sold off for extra cash. That's like extra don't give a fuck desperation. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Who's getting that cash?
I think Trump is going to write this off as like that the facilities were just looted and that business is actually booming right now. The campaign is going stronger than ever. These Antifa people, they kept looting us, okay? They came in, they took our TVs, they took the computers. I let everyone have a little vacation. They went on the golf course with me. It wasn't a big deal, okay?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm curious who's selling those TVs. Like, is that... Yeah, are those officially being sold by the campaign?
Also,
that would be me if I worked over there. I'd be like, yo, I'm selling these fucking TVs. I don't give a fuck.
Do the TVs have Trump Pence stickers on them too?
Right.
Like, do they have like the memorabilia like all over it? Like they're red TVs and then like it's like where did you guys where'd you get these from? It's like
he's like, wait, what did you mean by Trump TV?
Best Buy?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's some like street level desperation drug like need a drug fix, sell your mom's TV type shit.
Yeah. But it feels like the thing of like, because the whole Trump organization is Scam City and they're just a vortex of pulling in other scammers. Like, yeah, you would be hiring the kinds of people who, when you're not looking, have sold the fucking TVs off the wall and been like, oh, I don't know what happened, man.
That's
we're
wild.
Office down anyway. Huh. That's wild, bro. I don't know.
But then in public, like on for media appearances, we still have Stephen Miller out here, just you know, getting in the spotlight and declaring that like, no, this is far from over. We still got a plan of attack.
Yeah, it's Teenage Mutant Ninja Gerbils got on Fox and Friends to lay out this like other path to. You know, just delaying the inevitable or just, you know, rejecting reality. And I don't know, he sounded very optimistic about this new plan of using what he calls alternate electors.
Great to be on this morning. Thank you for having me. The only date in the Constitution is January 20th. So we have more than enough time to right the wrong of this fraudulent election result and certify Donald Trump as the winner of the election. As we speak today, an alternate slate of electors in the contested states is going to vote, and we're going to send those results up to Congress. This will ensure that all of our legal remedies remain open. That means that if we win these cases in the courts, that we can direct that the alternate slate of electors be certified. The state legislatures in Georgia.
So I'll just stop him there.
Yeah.
There's nothing in the Constitution about alternate electors. I think the idea is being like, we're going to put these electors in place. So when the judge, whoever judge that is, says, yeah, I agree, do that thing, then we're all ready to go with the alternate electors. I mean, as we speak, the Electoral College victory is being certified on Monday with like a lot of these states that were contested. They're certifying the results with the Electoral College. So it's not, you know, we're looking at something that is actually wrapping up. But this is, again, more and more attempts to, A, keep the base, like, energized on this, like, weird, fever dream of, like, don't worry, man, even though everything else is saying that we've lost, there's still a way, I think, but I'm going to say it with a lot of confidence just to, you know, I don't know, not change the narrative, I guess.
Yeah, that adds a weird energy around, like, you know, Biden getting elected. It's just so bizarre because there's so much resentment. There was resentment for when Trump got elected, obviously, on the Democratic side, but it was kind of like this, for the most part, like, I guess I have to accept this. There's a lot of people that were, you know, not my president kind of thing, but to say that it's completely false adds a whole nother layer to this as a debacle, whether, like, the people who didn't vote for him will be accepting at all. Like if somebody's telling you it's a lie, that's different than somebody saying like, hey, it's unfortunate that your side lost, but this is what is going to happen. But if somebody's saying like, no, this is a lie, like how do you think people are going to react to that like long term? Like, I mean, we'll be years into his presidency where people are still like, this is false. Like, we got wronged, like, we'll get them next time kind of thing, or I don't know, it's just a really bizarre circumstance.
Less than a quarter of Republicans trust the results of the election at this point. So it's, yeah, this is not going anywhere in terms of as a public sentiment. In terms of the strategy for why they're continuing to do it, even though behind the scenes they're not really pursuing the action in any real sense, as the empty offices can attest. I think it's, you know, it could be any number of things, right? It could just be they're leaving the story open to get more people to give them money, so it's just like more looting. Or it could be just like nobody is willing to be the person who tells Trump that they lost. Like that was an important part of Watergate and like getting Nixon to step down, was that hit the top four Republicans like came to him and were like, hey man, like this is not going to go well for you. Like you need to step down. Like that's why he eventually like came around. He didn't just like do it on his own because he was reading what the media said. It was like,
and yeah, we have the opposite now.
Right. Exactly. We have people who are gassing him up because they see that there's energy and there's no real other.
And they're scammers too. Because they're like, oh, look at this fragile old man who I could manipulate the fuck out of if I just tell him magic words that he agrees with. I mean, like, if you know how to scam somebody, Donald Trump is probably the easiest person to manipulate. And you can tell by all these people who've suddenly like entered the orbit and are just like, they're like, I'm willing to just off ramp from reality to just stay closer to this person. And Mo Brooks, who's a congressperson from Alabama, is like the new cool kid for Trump, because he's out here basically saying like, we found another way to try and maybe subvert the will of the people. He's saying that now he's wrangled up a few other flunkies on the GOP to try this new thing. He says, quote, we have a superior role. This is first saying that it doesn't matter what the Supreme Court says, because a lot of people said, well, once the Supreme Court told y'all to eat shit, I think it's pretty much done and dusted at that point, unless you're like, you're going to full on get, you know, some military coup going. I don't know. And he's saying, quote, we have a superior role under the Constitution than the Supreme Court does, than any federal court judge does, than any state court judge does. What we say goes. That's the final verdict. So this is someone who's now telling Trump, it's don't worry about what judges say. That's just where they're, that's on them, because we're the be all end all.
Who is he? What, looks, he's in the House?
Yeah, he's in the House, you know, where all the people are currently just completely embarrassing themselves. But he says, like, the whole
it's
thing
a house
is that they're
party,
looking at
dude. Chill yeah, out, dude.
Exactly, man. Just come on, bro. Just kind of smoke on this and then tell me about how Donald Trump didn't lose in the election.
Is this
but
peyote?
They're looking at a very weird, weird loophole that are trying to basically invalidate a state's elections or which candidate they voted for. This hasn't happened since the 1800s when that happened. And the only way that can occur, if it were to ever happen, was both the House and the Senate would have to agree to throw the votes out. Considering that the House is under Democratic control, this is not even a feasible option, even with this very narrow law that they might be trying to attempt to make this all work. But at the end of the day, it's just dangerous nonsense, because like you're saying, some people might be like, oh, this is fun to just see them try and be like real shitty about losing. And other people are full on like, they stole it? It's stolen?
Right.
They stole the election from us?
For example, the news that I quickly realized when I was talking with my parents back home in Kansas, that when certain things happen along with the election or just news in general, it really like hit me this year for the first time, where they're literally in different parts of the country, people get very, very different news. They get like it, dependent on what network they're watching and stuff like that. And it comes to, you realize in conversation kind of unraveling, like, oh, like this is all you know, because this is all you've heard from the news outlet that you're listening to. So that's why some people are going to be like, oh, absolutely, the election was stolen, because this is what I'm hearing from my new news outlet, or, you know, the AM radio station that I'm listening to or whatever. That's just what I'm being told. So that's all I know. So that's what makes it so like delicate with the way people are consuming media these days.
Right.
And I mean, like we were saying, less than a quarter of Republicans trust the results of the election. Like it seems like we're in a, you know, in a more dangerous position than, you would realize if you were just paying attention to the mainstream media and like arguing over the definition of whether this is like a failed coup or not. Like, there's a right-wing commentator named Josh Bernstein who is just the most recent to say he's like willing to die and is done using words and he will never live under a Biden regime. And specifically, a quote was, "The blood of tyrants and patriots could be coming, and hopefully it's a lot more tyrants than patriots." Like, I don't know. There's just a lot of people on the Trump side who are basically openly threatening terror attacks, what would traditionally be defined as terrorism. And it's not a movement that has traditionally been shy about engaging in mass violence, like from the Oklahoma City bombing to all the mass shootings more recently at synagogues and mosques and Walmarts. And I don't know. It just feels like we're being lulled to sleep by the double standard that says that because it's right wing ideology that it's not terrorism when they're going to be killing innocent people.
Yeah, I mean, even if you look at what happened in D.C. over the weekend, there are Proud Boys who are trying to burn down churches or tear down Black Lives Matter signs in front of churches or burn the Black Lives Matter signs in front of churches. And, you know, only now the police are like, we'll look at this as a possibility of being a hate crime. It's like, right, a possibility?
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's that there's still that hurdle that people can't go, oh, yeah, well, hold on, a white person's doing it? Well, now let's really be sure what this is. So they were wearing a swastika while they burned down a black church. Okay, we're going to have to look into what the motivations might be. And if it were any other way, I mean, like, law enforcement's so quick to be like, that's terrorism, this is blah, 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 this is... But we're still also having this, like, evolution culturally where we're like, it's right-wing terror also? That, you know, resembles other kinds of like civil unrest things that have happened in other countries. But yeah, it's there. We're having our vocabulary is like rapidly shifting too, I think, too, around all of what's happening as well.
Yeah. And I mean, we've never had a situation where there is a terror attack and like 56 million of the people in the country are on board with the central like ideological tenet of the person who's doing the terror attack. Like, you know, Kyle Rittenhouse is like, there was certainly not like mass outrage on the right, or, you know, the right being like, well, that's not the way to get things done. Like, you usually see that with your Timothy McVeighs, your the guy who went to Walmart and did a mass shooting. But like, now it seems like there's a new level where they're just openly just ready to get on board with some wild shit. I just don't know. It seems like we're in a more dangerous position than a lot of the media seems to be owning up to.
Yeah. Well, I think I'm curious to know how many people who are like on broadcast news are interacting with people. Like, you know, we always talk about this, like who is actually informing their perception of what the world is in terms of like, who people are on the right or who people are on the left, because each side has a completely fucked up perception of the other. And there is some version where some people are more similar, but like even the way conservatives are talking about what they think Joe Biden is going to do, they're describing like a Holocaust for conservatives, like where they will be rounded up and they're going to come for us. And it's just like, I'm like, well, is this born out of like cancel culture? Because you're thinking I speak up and say this bad take, then they will come take me to some kind of reprogramming center. It's just very, it's like the same thing, like when, you know, Prop 8 or anything with gay marriage was happening in this country, where people were like, you want to ask them, like, what are you afraid of exactly? That if gay people can get married, what does that mean for you specifically that you're out here screaming your head off? Like, what does that mean? And there's still this, like, when you look at what the talk is on, you know, like 4chan or on right wing Twitter or Reddit or whatever, like it's still this like hyperbolic version of like, you know, victimhood.
Yeah. Just speaking about like different news sources and existing in different realities, one thing that I noticed in my adventures when I was off globetrotting, taking 3 days away from the podcast, as I was entering my local Ralph's, which is owned by Kroger. So if
Kroger
you're not from,
for the rest of the
yeah, they're selling the Epoch Times. On you've probably seen ads from them on YouTube where it's like somebody reading a newspaper and being like, the mainstream media has this wrong and Trump is actually right, and it's actually should be called the China virus and stuff like that. So I had a sense based on those ads that this publication was not fully on the up and up. But they're selling.
I had a sense that I was in for a good read.
Yeah, exactly. So, but they're selling physical copies on the same like place where the LA Times usually is. There are copies of the Epoch Times for $3. It features headlines about hacking vulnerabilities of the election software in Detroit. Just all sorts of debunked conspiracy theories that the Trump administration is trying to sow. Not like being like, stop the steal, the election was stolen. But the thing that they learned about a decade ago is that you do your best impression of real news and try and blend in with it. So they're just treating these fake stories as real news stories. Wow. So they started actually in the late 90s, early 2000s as a voice box for Falun Gong, which is the sort of Buddhism meditation and far right politics conglomerate, like religious movement in China. They have those
Shenyun.
Yeah, Shenyun. I think they're really like their dance performances that are just, you're bombarded with advertising for them. They say like they're the greatest show on earth, but people who go and see it are like, it's actually super disturbing. And then you might have also seen, I think this was before the PR turn where they realized they had to like try and blend in with other media. They did a lot of like really bloody public protests, like fake blood, but like really like gory dramatizations. But so in terms of their core beliefs, they're, like I said, very far right, very Trump supporting, because they think that Trump will bring about a giant war with China. They're very against the Chinese government, and there's like a millennialist tilt to it because they think like that is the end times, that will bring about Judgment Day. And so that is kind of their angle into this. But the fact that they, like something, a publication with so many red flags is like somehow struck a deal with Kroger to be sold on their shelves is pretty startling.
I mean, well, disturbing. I mean, but you got to hand it to Kroger. I mean, they were hit pretty hard with all those essential worker bonuses they had to pay out.
Right.
So they were looking for money. Cash wherever they could get it. You know what I mean?
That's right.
That one time they paid it and then are like, I don't know.
Yeah, never mind.
We're making money hand over fist. Yeah, that really is alarming. And you want to know like how the fuck that happened where they're like, yeah, we'll put that a physical copy here rather than a you know, intrusive banner ad. Where you're like, get the shit out of my face.
Right.
But yeah.
Is this newspaper basically becoming like what like the smut mags are? Not smut mags, but those like people kind of magazines, like top 10 things that Trump wants you to know, but America won't let you. Like it's just like these breakdowns of different things where people are like, all right, I'll take a copy of this. This looks good. That's basically like what those like headlines are kind of grasping. It's almost like clickbait, but physical clickbait for you.
Yeah,
but if it's reinforcing the narrative that Trump is on top of everything, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. He's got this and everyone's against us, but we're going to get through it. Like if that's your worldview, then you're going to love it.
The headline writing is interesting in that it's informed by the boring headline writing of the New York Times. Like they have done their best to
emulate it. Gotcha.
Yeah,
gotcha.
To emulate it. So it looks like a regular newspaper, the layout. Everything looks like a regular newspaper down to the price. I think $3 is what the LA Times costs. I almost like picked them up. I thought it was like a thing where they were dropping off like free flyers and you know, could do what you want with it. But yeah, $3 per copy. And it's just really a new kind of branch in the war on reality.
The website will give you a fucking lightning migraine or thunderclap headache or whatever that thing's called. Like, it's, there's so much shit coming off the screen when you go to their website. You're like, ah, it's like there's an electoral college map. I'm not joking. There's probably 28 headlines crammed into like this window I'm looking at. And then you go down, it's like a cacophony of images and like live suggested blinking stuff. It's a lot. But again, if you're looking for something to feel like, you know, if suddenly you're alienated because you believe that Trump actually didn't lose the election, go over here, because they're offering you the things to just soothe that and say, like, you know, there's one here that says truth-seeking Americans have the moral high ground. What?
Yeah.
In their like opinion section. So like, yeah, there's a salve to be like, are people saying you're rejecting the reality of the election? No, you're actually, you're a truth-seeking American, and you should, you know, be, feel good about that. It's so manipulative.
Well, that's the irony of this whole fake news era that we're in right now, is like stuff like this is like, it's coined, you know, kind of like on the Trump side of things. And then this is exactly what's being putting out in support of him losing the election, is actual fake news platforms and stuff like that.
Yeah. Yeah. And they're smart too, because they put the real shit behind a paywall. So if, like, for example, Dominion software intentionally designed to influence election results, forensics report, but it's under the premium section. Damn it, but I need that to argue with my coworkers who say I don't have any evidence. Don't have any evidence? What about this? Election fraud allegations, infographic, but again, behind the premium paywall.
That's interesting.
So it's like they also know how to like edge the people too. Be like, we know what you really want. You need something substantive to come and clap back with people rhetorically with. And that's behind a paywall. And it will also be vaporware. I'm sorry, but thank you for your
When I Googled the Epoch Times, the first like Google autocomplete was login, like for people looking to get a
to get a free one?
Get a free login. To
when I Googled when I Googled the Epoch Times, I just got an Amazon delivery for truck nuts. I don't know if you guys got that too, but
that has more to do with your search history than anything.
Okay. All right.
It launched a macro that auto ordered. I'm on a subscription to truck nuts now.
Yeah, I don't
every
know.
Every 2 weeks.
I don't know how I get off of this, but I think I can put it on the back of my Honda.
Man. I am hemorrhaging truck nuts every month. It's just a new pair that I...
Guys, you got to come get some of these, man. Honestly, I don't even need money anymore. Just please get them. I need to get rid of them.
All right. We're going to be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turned sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. Now, this is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200%ers. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. If you ever felt like you were always too much this while also never being enough that, this is the podcast for you. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more via my own personal stories, along with interviews with inspiring thought leaders from our community. Then, every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community that you need to know. So much of what makes our community so beautiful is our diversity, yet too often, those of us who don't fit into this dumb, stereotypical box of whatever it means to be Latino are left without a voice or just forgotten about. On this show, I celebrate the uniqueness of our culture and invite you to walk in your authenticity. Listen to Life as a Gringo as a part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. And truck nuts are not the only thing that's in short supply. Brexit has people across the pond, as the media cliche goes. People in England are concerned about, they're going to have shortages.
Yeah, because they want to break up with the EU. They want to fuck around. And now they're like, well, they still need to sort out a trade deal. Because right. They're like, okay, maybe politically we're not aligned, but like trade's a huge thing. And like, we need stuff from y'all. And like, we're an island. So what's going on right now? That has not been figured out. And if there's like a straight up no deal Brexit on that, it could lead to shortages, price hikes on certain things. But it kind of really underlines just how much of, you know, the global economy, you know. And how much we rely on other countries for certain imports and things like that. Because if they don't have a deal in place with the EU, they're going to have to like revert to like World Trade Organization norms where there's like certain tariffs on things. And that could really change things for people in the UK. Things that, okay, so if they don't figure out a deal, these are some of the things that people in the UK will have a lot of trouble, not a lot of trouble getting, but they're going to have to either pay more. Yeah, it could be a little pricey. For example, pizza. Dough is made from wheat varieties that they have to get from other places. Avocados and bananas. Most of that shit is imported. So that's another thing.
Millennials are not going to be happy.
Millennials will starve to death. I mean, let's be real. If there is no avocado toast or diamond industries for them to ruin.
Dude, and pizza? You're messing with my pizza now? This is getting serious.
Exactly. What about ham? You can't get ham. If you're in the UK, because a lot of the good ham, like the loins and things like that, are coming from across the, like from the EU. Broccoli, tomatoes, that's another thing. Like, you know, apparently the UK only produces a fifth of the tomatoes that they actually sell within the country.
Tomatoes.
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 And come on, UK Zeitgang.
You
us know.
Say potato, I say tomato.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
But, I think that's how it goes.
A potato. How do you say it? Oh, also lift. Potato.
Yeah.
Also,
I think it's pretty.
That's an elevator. Yeah. But they also wine will be tough to get, but the things that they can get, so don't worry, you get plenty of mutton because that's all being grown
Hell
in the
yeah.
UK.
Dude, I'm all about
peas,
that mutton life.
Carrots.
Dude.
Yeah. Keep peas, carrots, and beets. Don't worry, UK. You're good. You that got was, plenty of those.
They have this listed like it's a combination or that beetroot, peas, carrots, and beetroot. Like those are core staples of, is that just more popular in the UK than?
Beets are kind of having their renaissance kind of happened.
Juice stands are popping in the UK right now.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Okay.
I think maybe because it's probably one of the things that they have a ton of. That's why they're just pointing out. It's like, look, we're good in the UK when it comes to beets, carrots, and peas, or bread. They say toast and chips. Don't worry about that because we got enough potatoes. You know, we can have Scotch whiskey. So we need to worry about wine. But the sad thing is cod, like for fish and chips.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, unfortunately with cod for fish and chips, that's coming from Norway and Iceland. So that's going to be a bit of a hit.
Yeah.
But lobster, they got that.
They have toast and chips, lobster and chips, which as far as I know, aren't like the only thing I've ever heard of is fish and chips or cod and chips. So it feels like they're trying to start something here with toast and chips.
Yeah. They're,
it
they're,
seems
they're
like, weird.
Don't worry. You can get this thing we just made up.
Yeah, we totally have lots of it. It's not a problem. Plenty of that where that came from. Don't worry, you won't want the fish and chips anymore. That's a thing of the past.
No,
We do have we have peanut butter and chips and lots of new things. They're exciting. You got to try it.
I think I'm just gonna go to Nando's. Thanks anyway.
Oh,
but yeah. But lobster, I mean, I didn't realize they have an abundance, as they say in this Daily Mail article, of crab, prawns, and lobster. So you're good on the arthropods.
Okay.
Damn. Living that good life, I guess.
Yeah.
I guess they'll be fine after all. This would be enough to change my politics. I have traditionally been pro-Brexit, but yeah.
Yeah,
this,
I know. Which one did it for you? Was it the ham or pizza?
Pizza.
Yeah.
Dude, of course. Yeah. You don't mess with my pizza. Okay,
you've always said that. As long as I've known you for the past hour,
you don't do that. All right, that's crossing the line where I'm from.
That's right. All right, let's talk vaccine, guys. Sandra Lindsay, a critical care nurse at Long Island Jewish Medical Center in Queens, was vaccinated on camera Monday morning.
Wow.
So we are officially underway with the vaccination of these United States, done and dusted. We can stop paying attention to the COVID-19 story.
Throw your masks in the trash, y'all, and let's make out in the streets.
Let's
like God intended.
Do it.
Yeah, I mean, it's great. You know, I guess once they saw Bill Shakespeare getting his vaccine in the UK, they're like, get Sandra Lindsay up there.
Yeah.
That's our Bill Shakespeare. But it's great to see that, you know, I don't know why, again, even like that older woman in the UK who was like the first person to get the vaccine in the UK, I felt so like giddy. I feel the same way seeing Sandra get hooked up with her vaccine. I'm loving it. HHS Secretary Alex Azar was apparently saying the rollout could begin at the end of February for the country. But that article, I see the link, like that headline is being ran the most by the New York Post, New York Daily News, and Fox Business, Fox News. So I'm going to take that with a few grains of salt. And I know most people are talking like late spring seems to be what they think is a more realistic rollout, which to me means fall, I think, with this, the way this country's been moving.
Sure. If my experience with large scale projects is any indication, yeah, you can usually double the amount of time that they're estimating.
Do you think that the people on the fence, though, about getting the vaccine, that that's encouraging to them, seeing an old lady like get the vaccine? Like, no. You know what I mean? Like, I think that there's going to have to be like, like OnlyFans, like webcam models are like, ooh, yeah, I'm ready for it. The bros are like,
I'll take the vaccine right now, dude. Yeah, it has to literally a group F, a community effort, truly.
I mean, celebrity endorsement of vaccines is a thing going back to Elvis. They needed to use Elvis as an example of like a strategy of using celebrities. In 1956, he got the polio vaccine on the Ed Sullivan Show because it was difficult to convince teenagers to get vaccinated. And, like that actually worked. Vaccination rates went up. But I do think we're kind of living in a post celebrity era a little bit.
Well, look, if you got JoJo Siwa, Justin Bieber, and Billie Eilish, that's a good, you could knock out a pretty, and Taylor
that's
Swift,
true.
You could knock out a pretty good chunk. But I feel like a lot of those people aren't as on, you know, like maybe, you know, but you have to round it out. Like that's the kind of maybe celebrity weight we need.
Dude, if Tekashi 6ix9ine gets a vaccine, I'll get the vaccine, dude.
Mm-hmm. And not until then.
Yeah, if Megan Thee Stallion twerks while getting the vaccine, then your boy is in.
I'm getting it. Yeah. If I even see, I'm trying to think of the lowest bar. But even I feel like you just need neighbors, you know, just to get it. Be like, hey, whoa, Phil, you getting it? Okay. And then you like talk shit. Like, yeah. I don't know about him. But
just go door to door and just make it a day. Make it a national holiday, vaccination day.
Rather than caroling, one person goes, I'm like, I will now be vaccinated in front of you. Happy holidays. Yeah. Ah, thank
you. Like, fa la 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 la. You're just stabbing people with a vaccine.
I had carolers come to my house the weekend of Thanksgiving.
Did you
like,
really?
Damn, y'all are like excited to get out here and spread
did
those.
Did they have masks on or were they full on just like anti-mask?
I did not open the door. I was like, oh, sorry, the kids are in bed. And my son is like right there being like, who is that?
Crying.
They're doing carols like wild trick-or-treating in weird costumes. Like all the things that they missed out on, they're cramming into one.
Exactly. Yeah.
One of the carolers has board shorts on. Like, what's your outfit?
But fortunately, only 24% of Americans believe celebrities on the issue of vaccines, which I think has to do with the fact that celebrities have sort of burnt a lot of cred with being anti-vaxxers. Like that mm-hmm. isn't super helpful. One of the things that is in the works is that the three ex-presidents, Obama, Bush, and Clinton, have all volunteered to be vaccinated on camera. But JM, our writer, was pointing out that that's somewhat ineffective because the whole issue is that the U.S. government has a history of doing shady shit, especially to non-white people under a veil of medical advancement.
Right.
And I remembered, I knew that like they had used a CIA like fake vaccination campaign to basically steal people's DNA to locate bin Laden. But that actually led to like a public uproar in Pakistan and other places around the world where like legitimate vaccine workers were chased off and some were murdered after that. And people attribute it to that. So like that whole thing ended up having like very real consequences. To the point that the CIA was like, all right, we'll stop.
Anything I will else knock you it off with the fake vax programs.
Yeah.
Ugh. Yeah. All right. Well, yeah, I mean, I think now, I don't know if it's going to be a celebrity thing, right? Because the people who are like real, the, you know, wilder takes about it are truly on some like, it's not like, I don't know if it's safe or it could be janky and it's going to hurt me. More like, nah, man, that's what they're trying to get you with it. And I'm like, I don't know what it and who they are, but I think it's Bill Gates and it is a microchip. But then I see a lot of good memes that are just sort of like, it's like that, what is it, that Crowder meme where he's like, change my mind, the dude sitting at the table when it's like some hot take and it says, change my mind. And it's like Bill Gates sitting at a thing. It's like, convince me why I should even put a microchip in you, change my mind.
Right.
Or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I'd be like, are you really like that much of a subversive patriot that they need to keep tabs on you? Like, you know, I don't.
Well, apparently my dad is, because I've already had this conversation with him.
He's scared of the vaccine?
Oh, yeah, for sure. He's like, he's not going to get it. He's like, oh, I'm definitely not going to get it. Yeah.
For which reasons? Like the surveillance state, it's unsafe. He wants to make sure other people don't get, like, what is it?
I think surveillance and he doesn't think it's safe yet. He thinks it's a government ploy right now. I literally had this conversation with my dad like last week. I was like, okay, interesting take. All right.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
Is there a celebrity you think? Like, I was trying to put together like a dream team of celebrities that might have an impact. Like, I was thinking,
who would your dad? Yeah.
Hanks, Denzel, Oprah, Gwen Stefani's husband, and Chris Pratt. that was my attempt to cover the whole gamut.
Maybe if like Ted Nugent or somebody, or Rush Limbaugh got, you know what I mean? If they got the vaccine.
Right.
Then that would be, or like a Sean Hannity or something, then it would be something like where my dad might be like, all right, I'll look into it.
Yeah.
Well, because you know those people probably would. They're like, fuck that. I'm not trying to get no COVID. Give me that fucking vaccine. But then on the air be like, I don't know. Can we trust it?
Behind closed doors, they're like, can I get the expedited service on this thing? Do I have to wait with all the other commoners?
But I mean, that definitely should be a campaign, like a public pressure campaign to have them do that, because that does seem like it would
help a lot. It would definitely help.
I mean, those are the people who are afraid of getting the vaccine a lot of cases.
I mean, I'm trying to think. Because wouldn't, like, if you're going to be rah-rah, this is the Trump vaccine, like, wouldn't his kids be getting it to be like, yeah, we did that. Check me out. Or is he like, I already got COVID, so fuck it.
Well, that's the thing.
I
like,
don't care.
Like, Tom Hanks would have been the perfect candidate for the vaccine because he's so likable. But he was, like, one of the first celebrities to get it.
Right.
That's when it sunk in for a lot of people, like, oh, this is a real disease. Tom Hanks got it. This is crazy.
Tom Hanks and the NBA shutting down, I think.
Yeah, that was the reality check for people. Like, oh, no sports? Oh, maybe this is real.
Yeah.
Wait, Woody from Toy Story got it?
Yeah.
I thought he was a toy.
Actually, Woody is not going to be played by Tom Hanks. He's going to be played by Chris Hemsworth
Chris Pine.
The origin story of...
My name is Woody.
Which one is... not? What's...
Chris Evans is playing
Evans, yeah.
Chris Evans is playing Buzz Lightyear in the the origin story of the real Buzz Lightyear, the story
on the
all
trending episode, and it was like, yeah, and then Chet Hanks is gonna play Woody. I'm like, I'll vibe with Patois Woody.
Oh man. All right, well, Jeremiah, it has been a pleasure having you on the Daily Zeitgeist, man. Where can people find you and follow you?
People can follow me. Whoops. People can follow me on social media at Jeremiah Standup. And I've got a brand new comedy special that is out that you can check out on Amazon Prime. You can check it out on Apple TV, Video on Demand, and a bunch of platforms. And the album is out now on Spotify and iTunes and Apple Music, all that stuff. So if you want to follow me, I'm a fun follow, Jeremiah Standup. And then I might be in a city near you soon. I'm still touring at jeremiahwatkins.com. I'll be in Austin coming up here in Fort Worth in January, the beginning of then, and then Royersford, Pennsylvania on December 30th. So
nice.
All right.
What's traveling like these days?
It's just heightened. You just have to be, I've flown quite a bit during this year comparatively to other people. And there's just some simple travel tips that, I mean, the CDC, like the washing the hands and not touching your face is a huge thing. So anytime I touch something on the plane, I just have a hand sanitizer with me. No, regardless of what I touch, I hand sanitize and just make sure that you're wearing your mask the entire time. And, you know, just not. Yeah. Also, I haven't been eating on the planes, on the flights. That I think that's another big one, because they do allow that, like for people to take drinks of stuff and eat. And I just make sure that I, you know, do the bottle underneath the mask real quick and then try to go back to sleep in my little hoodie and sleep chamber. So,
right. Nice.
Oof. And is there a tweet or some other work of social media you've been enjoying?
I'm not a big Twitter guy. So I do a lot of reposting and stuff of jokes, which I'm like, I have good taste in my reposts. So that's about it. But yeah, I'm more of an Instagram guy. I post like way more videos and my stand-up jokes and sketches and stuff like that there.
Nice. Miles, where can people find you? What's a tweet you've been enjoying?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Miles of Gray, and then other podcasts, 420 Day Fiance, where we're talking 90 Day Fiance over there. And a tweet I like is from Relly B at Durell Relly, or Durelly Rel, actually. And this is just a tweet that was blowing up about this dude who like sells cars. And his tweet says, if you didn't know, this is why I sell so many cars. I promote myself. And the video just starts with him like emerging out of the back of like a Honda minivan. And I'm just going to play you the audio because this is a new kind of car sales pitch that I think is very effective.
Right. We going. What a money reside. What a money reside.
He's
what
emerging a
money
from
reside.
A car.
What a money reside. Okay, let me tell y'all something. I'm doing something real big this month. Any deal that y'all got and they beating us, I'm going to be about $400. Just give me your VIN and the paper because I'm ants. What the what? What a money reside.
So, you know, he's just got a bunch of videos like this. We're just saying the same thing.
That's
like, look,
done.
Come through. I'll beat it by 400. Just give me the VIN so I know this is a real deal. Boom. Let's get you out the door. So shout out to Relly B with your very effective sales pitches.
All right. Some tweets I was enjoying. Just some guy tweeted, you've heard of Elf on a Shelf. Now get ready for God to abandon us. and then Fettuccine was just vibing in the zeitgeist for some reason. At least Navidad tweeted, pronouncing fettuccine like medicine. So fettuccine. Or medicine if you wanted to go in the opposite direction. And then at Shiny Spell tweeted, Boba Fett's full name is Roberto Fettuccine. He's actually Italian. You can find me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as the song we ride out on. Miles, what are we riding into this week upon?
This is a track by Ono Capono, and it's called Lost the Love, and it's just got like a really cool lo-fi sample-y, not like rock, but you know, a little guitar strumming and good soul vocals. So yeah, I don't know. I just like the name. I just was reminded of Jason Capono, and I said, Ono Capono, here we go. And yeah, Lost the Love. Check it out.
Jason Capono also in the Zeitgeist, the podcast Flagrant Ones, just randomly made their website jasoncapono.com.
They did.
and I think he got taken down.
Yo, Capono in the building. What a weird person to call out. I mean, like, that's like a local, that's like some local flavor for me, but
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That is going to do it for this morning. We're back this afternoon to tell you what's trending, and we will talk to y'all then. Bye.
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 Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. This is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200%ers. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more. Then every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community. Listen to Life as a Gringo on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same 7 questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same 7 questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. 7 questions, limitless answers.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.